I've entitled this series, Unshakable Faith. Unshakable Faith. The Bible teaches a lot about faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this new year. I thank you for these, your people. I thank you for this church that you've planted here. Lord, we know that it's done by faith. It's always a step of faith. Lord, I thank you that as we start this new year, this first Sunday of 2022, God, that we will establish your faith in us to do our part, Lord. We thank you that you cause us to grow, to get closer to you, to learn from you. Lord, I pray that your word take root in our heart, that we'll follow after you in all of our ways. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Our faith will determine much of what we see during this season. Let me say that again. Our faith, my faith, your faith, will determine much of what we see in this season. We're in a new season. This is not only a new year, we're in a new season. We're in a new season. And things, when things are different, sometimes some of us have a tendency to step back and to analyze and to look and to get a full view before we commit and move. But I believe that through faith, by faith in God, we will see things in a new light, see things the way that God sees them. As a matter of fact, I believe that our level of faith will determine our level of blessing. And I'll have to explain what I'm saying in that. Our level of faith will impact and determine our level of blessing. Knowing God is different than not knowing God. Knowing God is learning his attributes and his ways, and there's a level of faith that the world has. The level of faith that the world has is not necessarily found in God. If they don't know God, they don't know God. They don't know God's faith and know how to operate and to live in God's faith. And so there's a level of faith there that when they go to their car and turn the key, they have faith that it'll crank. They go to a light switch, they turn on a light switch, they have faith that Georgia Power will allow them to have light. So there's a level of faith that the world operates by that their understanding is their level of faith. But there's a deeper level, there's a greater understanding of faith. It's what I want to talk about today, and the Bible talks greatly about faith. We are saved by faith. Our salvation, the salvation that we receive, we come to the Lord and we say, Lord, we ask forgiveness of our sins, and we turn to God, we accept him in our heart, and we speak and we tell the world who Jesus Christ is in us. We accept that salvation by faith. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." We must have faith to be saved. Now Jesus went to his hometown of Nazareth, and Jesus knew these people well. Jesus knew their needs. And Jesus arrived there, and this is what he said about their faith in Matthew 13:58. Jesus said this, "Now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief or their lack of faith." So Jesus limited what he did because of their lack of faith. If our faith isn't active, if our faith isn't vibrant, then we will not see all that God wants to do. Another story of two blind men coming to Jesus. And Jesus asked these two blind men what they wanted. And this is what Jesus said to them in Matthew 9:29-30. "Then he," Jesus, "touched their eyes, saying, 'According to your faith, let it be to you.' And their eyes were opened." We see that there are levels of faith. We see in one setting, Jesus limited what he did because of their lack of faith. And in this setting, in Matthew 9:29, they were healed, their eyes were opened because of their faith. Faith is important. Faith has much to do with what we receive from God. Faith. Faith is huge. There's one thing that the devil will try you on, and that is your faith. He will try your faith. He doesn't want you to act in faith because he wants to limit your receipt from God. And so we'll face battles in finances. We'll face battles in marriages, in relationships, in health. The devil attacks our faith to create doubt in God. I don't really believe God can do that. I don't really believe he'll do that for me. So we see the doubt. We see the lack of faith. Why does the devil attack our faith? Because in faith, we can move mountains, the Bible says. In faith, we can stir heaven. In faith, we can rebuke hell. In faith, we receive healing. In faith, we receive courage. In faith, we receive confidence. In faith, we receive boldness. In faith, we draw closer to God. That's why the devil wants to limit and test our faith. Faith keeps us going when we feel like it's time to give up. Faith keeps us going when we feel like it's time to give up. Paul understood this very well. Paul went to minister to people that he loved, and this is what Paul was most concerned about in 1 Thessalonians 3:2. And sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith. Faith was important to Paul. He was teaching faith. He knew that faith was very important. Now, I'm sure back then it was kind of like today. They got involved in the logistics and the advertising and how can we get word out? How can we build this? How can we do this? But Paul was most concerned not about the logistics of all those things. He was concerned mostly about their faith in God. That's really the foundation after we receive God in our heart, is to establish our faith in God to where we believe God for anything. Believe God for the impossible. If our faith is weak, God's work in our life will also be weak. That's strong, I know. If our faith is weak, our belief is weak, then the work that we receive from God is also weak. 1 Thessalonians 3:5-7, just a couple verses down. For this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you, and our labor might be in vain. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us as we also see you. Therefore, brethren, in verse 7, in all affliction and distress we were comforted concerning you by your faith. Drop down to verse 10. Night and day praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. Now, if your faith is weak, get the picture. That's not time to go home and say, well, my faith is weak, I'm just going to give up. No. Why would we be teaching about faith if all of our faith was strong and through the roof and we believed God for everything and saw the dead raised? So we're all in the same boat, just to put that in place. We all need to increase our faith in God. We all need more faith in God. So if your faith is weak, thank God you're here. We're here together. And so I want to begin this by laying out the basics today of faith. This is important. This is huge. What is faith? The Bible defines faith. What is faith? We just read it, Hebrews 11:1. We're going to break this down. We also saw a moment ago that faith gives us the ability to be saved. But in Hebrews 11:1 it says, faith is, stop right there, faith is. Isn't it interesting that it doesn't say faith was? Does it say faith will be? It said faith is. Faith is present tense today. Faith is. It's currently active right now. We've just got to get faith. That's where we're headed, getting faith. So faith is, present tense, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So the first thing faith is confidence. Faith is confidence. It's the substance of the things that are hoped for. The Bible teaches us that Jesus is the substance of God. So why can't we see the substance first? Well, if we could see the substance first, we wouldn't need faith to hope for it because we've already got it. And so faith gives us the confidence in the substance that we will see. It's something that we're hoping for, something that we're praying for, and we can't give it a certain amount of time. Okay, God, you've got 15 minutes, and if I don't see it then I'm done. That's not. Our faith continues. Our faith is present. Our faith is active. It's continual, not limited by a time frame that we set for God to do. Faith is confidence. A picture with me. We're planning for vacation. We're going to plan for vacation months in advance. Now, right now may not be the time for a cruise, but okay, let's just say that we're planning for this vacation. And we're planning for it, and as we plan for it, what happens? We begin to get excited about it. Begin to get excited about what we're going to do on vacation, where we're going to go. Now, my favorite vacation of all time is a place called St. Simons. I love to go to St. Simons. I love to smell that salt air. Last couple of years, matter of fact, all the families come in June, and we've had vacation right here at home. That's my favorite. Goodness gracious. And so I dream about it. I think about it. Children are going to come home, and we're going to do this. And lo and behold, I'm going to have to rent a 15-passenger van to get everybody and the car seats and the strollers and everything else that goes along with it. For a week, we're going to have a great time. And so as we begin to plan these things, what day are we going to go to the Jacksonville Zoo? What day are we going to do this? What day are we going to go to St. Augustine? What day are we going to do all these things? So we begin to sense the excitement of something that's coming up. We're not there. That's not until June-ish. That's not until whatever that date is. It's not been set, but we've been working on that date. And so we put all these things in place, and we begin to visualize what it's going to be like and how much fun we're going to have. It's not yet there. I don't even know what the weather's going to be like in June. I don't know. There's a lot that I don't know, but I'm getting excited about something that I don't know about. Isn't that interesting? I don't yet see that, but yet I'm excited about the substance of that thing that I'm hoping for, that vacation. I can smell the air. I can see the sunshine. I can hear the laughs and the giggles and the tickles and the nights up when the children are saying, "Gee, Pa, come tickle me. Come play." I can hear all those things as though it were happening right now, but it's not happening. The substance or the reality of that vacation will take place at a later time, but yet I'm hoping for that. It doesn't prevent me from hoping. It doesn't prevent me from planning as though we were right here, as though we were right here. Romans 4:17 says, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. How is that? What God is saying, what Romans 4 is saying, is that by our faith, the things that we're praying for can be experienced before we receive them. That makes no sense, does it? Years ago, we were living in a subdivision in Brunswick, and Josh and Jordan were young, and so the subdivision we lived in just so happened to go by a piece of property that they had overheard me and Mom talking about the possibility it was on the market, and so we were talking about it, and we'd leave the subdivision and go about 10 minutes to the school there and take them to school every morning. Every morning they would look up and say, "Daddy, there's our property. Daddy, there's our property. Daddy, there's our property." Every morning. I didn't have the guts to tell them hush, because I don't see that happening. We found out the details, and that's not going to happen. But I didn't stop them. I just turned the radio a little louder. Listen to this song. Listen to this. So went past every morning. "Daddy, there's a property." And so this went on for a good while. And it wasn't too long after that till we acquired the property. And so God used the little children to speak something into existence that wasn't yet there. I'm just using that as an example. That's the power of our faith. And God speaks of the faith of little children because their faith is unlimited. I mean, they can believe for anything. They have an imagination. The Bible says Jesus loves that. Don't stop the little children from coming to me. Why? Because their faith is unlimited. They can believe, they can see it. And then we adults have to stand back and say, no, no, that's not what happened now. You stop saying that. I don't want you disappointed. So we limit the faith that God has established in them, and what we need to do is get a good dose of that. We say, you know, God, anything is possible with you. I don't necessarily see it, but help me to believe that that thing as you see it will be done. And God has a way of taking that to the next level and just blowing it all out of, I mean, he just blows it out of the water because he did something greater than what we could ever dream. Now, we can develop faith and speak the things in faith like the Lord is causing us to do and like God himself does. And then he can take that as he's seeing our faith and then say, well, you've got faith, and now let me show you what I'll do. Does things great. But faith exhibits confidence. Faith is confidence. It's confidence in knowing that what is impossible, seems impossible, is possible. I have confidence that this will be done. Faith is confidence. And what faith also is evidence. Faith is evident. How can it be evidence when I don't see it? I can't see that, but faith is evidence. See, evidence in the courts, evidence is leads to the truth. Well, faith leads to the truth. Before we experience, before we see it, before we can touch it, before we know that it's there, faith is evidence. Evidence presents truth. What is truth? This is truth. Every word in here is truth. And evidence, which is something that we don't necessarily always see, evidence always points to the truth. Evidence opens the door to truth. Evidence. Evidence in knowing that you know, that you know, that you know. How do you know that? I just know that. I know it. It's evidence. Where's the proof? Well, the proof is in the time that it takes for that thing, that substance, to be where we can touch it and see it. There will come a time. And so time then is tested, and the evidence then is brought in truth to where we see it and everyone else sees it as well. So evidence is power that guides to the truth. It's the power that directs to the truth as we have faith to receive that evidence. Evidence takes us to the truth. The truth that I'm talking about is the Word of God. Evidence that this Word changes people's lives. My opinion doesn't change people's lives. What I think and my interpretation of different things doesn't change people's lives, but the truth, the Word of God, the evidence of God's Word changes people's lives. How do you know that? We're all prime examples of that. We're all prime examples that the Word of God, the truth in the Word of God, is changing our lives. Are we where we will be in 1 year from now, in December 31st of 2022? We'll be growing, right? We'll be more mature in 363 days than we are today. So there's evidence of God's truth working in our life, and we'll continue to work. There's evidence. God does that. Truth isn't proven without evidence. Truth isn't proven without evidence. Evidence proves truth. So I know there's a heaven. Have I seen heaven? No. Well, how do you know? Because there's evidence of heaven. My mother-in-law, 18 years ago, was lying on a bed and telling us 3 days before she went to heaven of what it looked like. There's evidence of heaven. And there's others. There's others that have talked about it, written about it, about their experience in heaven, their move from this life to the life to come. There's evidence of heaven. Why do you believe in that? Because there's evidence. I haven't seen it. I haven't touched it. But there's evidence. Do you know what something else I believe in that there's evidence of that I don't see? And that is the wind. How do you know the wind? Because I feel the evidence of the wind blowing. Several years ago, I saw trees that was down because of wind that I couldn't see. But the wind blew those trees down. But I believe that there's wind because I experienced the evidence of the wind. God saves us through salvation, even though we can't see it. The work that he's done, how can he change some knucklehead's life, some bullhead's life? He can do that through the truth of God's word. We see the evidence of the power of faith. Secondly, faith is important. We've defined faith. Now let's establish that faith is important. Faith is important. Faith is vital to our walk with God. To first receive salvation by faith, and then everything else that God wants to do in our life by faith. My lungs are important to me, but air causes my lungs to be efficient and effective. My lungs are fine, they're good, but without air, without oxygen, my lungs can't function. My vehicle is important to get me around, but without fuel in that car, it can't be effective. Should I say these days, electricity in my car will not be effective. That battery. I got to have the battery or the fuel. I got to have something to push that car. Without one of those, my car is not effective. And so our walk with God without faith is not effective. Faith is important. We can receive salvation, and sometimes we get to a standstill. I've received salvation, and that's all God can do. Whatever else he did, that was for then, but God can't do any more for me today. So our faith must grow to the point that we can believe God for anything. Faith is important. Why? Number one, it pleases God. Faith pleases God. Hebrews 11:6 says this, without faith, it is impossible. That's a strong word. That's a strong word. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. When Josh and Jordan were young, and I guess because we've been with them all this week, and they're just leaving this weekend. When Josh and Jordan were young, if there was anything broken, if there was anything out of sort, they called Daddy. Because they knew that Daddy could fix anything. Daddy, call Daddy. I've gotten home some afternoons and Crystal said, you need to come see this for Josh or this for Jordan. Something's broken. We know that you can fix it. And so Daddy had the reputation of fixing anything and making everything back like it's supposed to be. And as they got a little older, started driving a car, you know what? They called Daddy. They ran out of gas, they called Daddy because Daddy could fix it and put it back like it's supposed to be. One day, they both had their share of little incidents in cars. So one day, coming through a red light, and I'm not sure who was at fault, but had a fender bender there. You know who gets the first phone call? It wasn't the police, it was Daddy. Daddy, this is what's happened. Is everything going to be okay? Yes, sweetie, it's going to be okay. I'll be right there. One time, a road downtown Brunswick, another one of our children was driving through there in about 3 feet of water in a little Toyota Celica that was sitting on the ground. And as he thought that he would go through that lake of water and let off the gas, the tailpipe sucked the water up in it and burnt that motor slap up. You know who got the first phone call? Daddy, I'm in the middle of a lake. What can I do? I'll be right there, buddy. Daddy can fix it. And so it pleases God for us to call on him because he can fix anything and he can put it all back together. It pleases him that you have faith in him that no matter where you are, a fender bender in an intersection or a lake downtown Brunswick, he can fix it. He can put it back together. He can make everything okay. So God is pleased when we have faith in him. That's the first thing that we learn, the importance of faith. Hebrews 11:2 says, for by it, speaking of faith, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. And we see throughout the Bible that there were so many of our elders, of those that have gone before us, that they were human just like us. Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Joseph, Moses, Sarah. I mean, we could go through the list. I mean, on and on and on and on and on, pages of all these that their testimony was given because of their faith in God. They all faced impossible situations. We see in Hebrews even that it outlays, and we're going to get into that in these next few weeks, about their testimony that they experienced in God because of their faith in God. We can learn from their faith that they had confidence in God. They relied on God. The evidence of the truth concerning faith, they experienced that. They couldn't see it, but they experienced it in fullness. So if we require to see things before it happens, then we're not operating in faith. That's what I believe that God wants us to get past beginning today and for this year, is that we don't operate by the things that we see, because that's not operating in faith. We operate in the things that God wants to do, which is beyond the things that we can see. We will see it. We will touch it. But in the meantime, our faith will have a lot to do with what we receive. And there's a lot that God has prepared for you to receive this year. There's a lot that God is doing. This is a new season in many ways. There's a lot going on that you don't see, that God is doing some incredibly awesome things far beyond what I can see and what I see. What I feel is the roof's off. God wants to bless you. We can see those things even that are invisible. We see those things that are invisible only by faith. This pleases God. Romans 4:3 says, "For what does the Scripture say?" Romans 4:3 says, "Abraham believed God. He had faith, and it was accounted to him." He received from God because he had faith in God. Faith sees the invisible. How can you see that? I'm asked sometimes, how can you see that? I see it by faith. And it's not something that's just automatic. It's a process that God has done in our lives. When we see things by faith and we can see things that aren't seeable, see things that are invisible, we do that because of God has established in us the ability to see things beyond what we can physically see and touch. I mean, even Abraham and Sarah both, they were old. Sarah was beyond her childbearing years, and God made a promise to them. They held on to the promise. After all those years, they held on to it. Why? Because God promised it to them, and they knew that they knew that they knew that God was going to deliver. So God honored Abraham. Why? Because Abraham had faith. That's important. Faith is important. Faith pleases God. Now, sometimes our questions limits our ability to have faith. It's okay to have questions, but the questions cannot hinder our faith. That's when it goes into doubt. We can have faith, we can ask questions, but God will never give us the answer to all of our questions before we have faith for him to do it. Okay, God, I've got 3 more questions for you. Silence. He's not going to answer all of our questions. Questions are fine. I've questioned God too. Some I've got answers to, some I haven't. But my faith cannot be hindered by my questions. My faith cannot be hindered by my questions. Faith is important, secondly, because faith gives understanding. This is huge. Faith gives understanding. Crawford, you'll appreciate this. When I was a kid, anything I got, I had to take it apart to see how it worked. I mean, got a little amp. I had to tinker with it and try to get in there to see. I got it put back together. It worked after I put it back together, but it was cool. It was just so cool. I had to see the speaker move as I turned up the volume. I wanted to see that cone move. I wanted to see where the electricity came into that thing. I wasn't scared to be shocked either. I'd plug it in to take the cover off of it. It didn't bother me a bit. I'm the kid that licks 9-volt batteries. It doesn't bother me. I just test them that way to make sure they're good. And so I take it apart. Well, faith in that way gives us understanding on how God operates. Faith gives us insight in how God operates. Hebrews 11:3 says, "By faith we understand." This is huge. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. God made everything. God made the worlds. He framed, he formed all by his word and by the things that could not be seen. Has he changed from then to now? No, he's not changed. He still makes great things out of no things. He still makes something out of nothing. He can still call the world into existence out of nowhere. He always is. He always was. We were talking to one of our grandchildren this past week, and he wanted to know, when was God born? When was God born? And he started explaining his mind. He's sharp as a tack. He started explaining when God must have been born. And we had to explain, no, buddy. God always is. Huh? We can't explain it. We can't understand it. But by faith, we understand that God did everything that he's done and continues to do everything that we don't understand. It's beyond our physical comprehension. We can only understand it by faith. It's bigger than we are physically, but it's not bigger than God. By faith, we understand. Unless we have faith, there are things that we cannot understand. I know it would be great. It would be great to put it on paper and to understand it, but that's not God. God cannot be boxed, and you can't draw a good diagram of God. You can't figure it out. Our faith grows. God speaks to us unusual things because he gives us, by faith, an understanding to do those things. We don't understand the impact. Chris and I, it happens so much, so frequent here lately that we walk into a place and strike up a conversation with a perfectly stranger, never seen him before, never knew him before, and before we know it, we're talking to him in 5 minutes like we've known him for 30 years, and they're telling us where they are and what's going on in their life and praying. They have no clue that we attend church, much less are pastors. And I don't want to pop their bubble. I'm just sitting there in awe, saying, God, whatever you want to do here. It's amazing that God will give us understanding in situations like that we have no clue about. But we've got to be in a place to be in tune, and we're working on it. We're in tune when those opportunities arise that we're able to walk in faith and just to let God do it. See, some doors will be damaged if we try to push too hard. Some doors in the flesh, and I'm probably one of those that will tend to do that. I'd push the tar out of it. I'm going to open this door. You said no? Oh, no, you didn't. I'm going to push. So we have to learn to let God open those doors. And we're there. And we just allow God to guide us. There's an understanding that comes by faith. God will open the doors. I know I pray with many people on a regular basis about what God's will is. What's God's will? I say, well, tell me what's going on. They'll tell me what's going on. And I'll say, well, keep walking until God closes the door. That's all I can tell you. I'm not going to tell you that God said to do this or God said to do that. But go ahead and try, God, and just keep walking. If he closes the door, that was not the path. God will give you another way. Don't push the door. Don't take a hammer to it. Let God open it. And if he closes it, stop there. There's another door for you. So we've got to learn that there's understanding that comes by faith. Even the creation of the world, we can only know the creation of the world by faith. We read it in Genesis. We see that he spoke it into existence, but it's only by faith that we can understand that it was done. I wasn't there. Believe it or not, I wasn't there. And so my understanding comes from the Word of God, and my faith in God is that he was there and he spoke it into existence. Do you believe it? I believe it 100%. Why? Because faith gives me understanding that even though I wasn't there in the beginning, that I know that God did what he did. My faith is understanding and believing and trusting that God. I can't comprehend it. I can't understand it in the physical, but through faith, I can see he's given me understanding to know that he was in charge of the world and is in charge of the world. Faith to believe that God created everything. That's much easier to believe that than it is to think that it was all just a perfectly great accident. It all blew up one day and voila. So our faith in God, knowing that he created everything. He formed everything. He established everything. All by his command, by the word that he spoke. It was done just like that. That's the same God that I'm talking about having faith in today. God formed the physical world. I just give you a picture of this. God formed the physical world. Everything we see, the stars in the sky, that North Star that sits in the sky right behind our house every single night. Beautiful. I mean, it's just mind-blowing. The sunset, the sunrise, the beach, everything that we enjoy around here, God did all that, the physical world, but also the moral world. God established that. Isn't it amazing that children can be born and they know right from wrong? They know in their heart when they do something, when they look up, wait for you to come after them, and then run when they do. I've known some kids like that. They've not been in my house lately either. The moral code that God has set up, it's ingrained in us. How? Because it's established. God established it before time. It wasn't defined by man. Man doesn't write a book. Well, they've tried writing a book saying this is right and this is wrong. God established that right here. And in our heart, when we're born and when we're raised up, we know right from wrong. We don't have to be told. You don't take candy from a store. You know it's wrong. And so that's why you duck. That's why you run. Because you know what I'm saying? So there, God established all that. He established the moral code around us. He established all these things, all the things that we don't see. He established that if we put anything or anyone before God, that it doesn't work out well for us. Why? Because we know that there's no other gods before us except for God, the living, true God. When we put other gods before us, it doesn't work out. All of this, the fabric of our very being, who we are, our DNA. Our grandson said the other day, I know how we got here, by DNA. I said, who made DNA? God, yep. God made DNA. Whew, man, I'm glad I'm not raising children these days. Get it? Come on. I'm kidding. I wouldn't do that. We're reduced to the level of the thing that we worship. We're reduced to the level of the thing that we worship. Whatever we put as priority in our life, that's what we become. We set the level right there. That's why the people of Nazareth, why Jesus just turned and looked at them and left. He said, I can't do anything here. Because they obviously had things before God that, whether it was, how can I receive from this snotty-nosed kid? He's an adult now, and I can't get anything from him. Whatever those things were, they were limited. Their faith was limited by that they worshiped, that they focused on. And so it is today. We are limited by the things that we worship, the things that, if money is your God, then you're limited by your money. You're limited by the number in your bank account. That's where your limit is. We've got to get our faith beyond that to be able to trust God that he's going to do more than what you see in that bank statement. We looked at the doctor's reports. That's been a real one for my life these last few years. In that we see the doctor's report. We see that God is keeping me alive, but my reaction to the doctor's report could be negative. Because, well, the doctor's saying this, I love my doctor, I trust my doctor, I have faith in my doctor. But my doctor goes by some books that men wrote, and I go by the book, this one. So I love my doctor, I go see him, I do what he tells me to do. For the most part, I got a check right there. He says, don't overexert yourself. I said, I'm not overexerting myself. But I know that my faith in God's word has to be greater than my faith in my doctor. Because if my faith in my doctor is what I go by and that's what I worship, then my faith will be limited by that thing because I have become that. My faith is right there. God, if you heal me, then I'll be fine. But if you don't heal me, then I'm going to die. Because the doctor said this. And Jesus says, well, listen, I'm going to leave your heart just like it is, and I'm going to cause you to live anyway. So when you go to your doctor, he's going to take a picture of your heart, and he's going to say, how in the world are you breathing, much less running on that treadmill? And so I go in and run on the treadmill. He said, are you feeling okay? I said, yeah, I'm fine. I'm talking while I'm running. He said, you feeling okay? I said, I'm feeling fine. Because I know that God is my source of life, and my faith isn't limited by him. My faith is unlimited by him. So we become what we worship. We become like what we worship. So our understanding will be limited by our God. Our understanding will be unlimited by our God. Capital G. John 1:3 says, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. These are principles of faith. Colossians 1:15-17. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on the earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him, for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Number three, lastly, we've got to get faith. We've got to get faith. We see what faith is. We see the importance of faith. We know that God wants us to live by faith. We've got to have faith to please God. So we've learned this, and now we've got to get faith. How do we get faith? I want that faith. This is how we do it. James 1:22 says, be doers of the word. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. We get faith by using what we've already been given. You say, well, I don't have any faith. Yeah, you do. The Bible says in Romans 12:3 that we've all been given a measure of faith. We're all born with a measure of faith. Every single living person has been given a measure of faith. So how do we get more? We do. What do? We use the faith that we've got and watch it grow. If we don't use the faith that we've got, we lose it. We use it or we lose it. So God has given us all a measure of faith, and it all depends on how we use that measure will be the response of how our faith grows or diminishes. I have the ability to make my faith grow, or I have the ability to make my faith diminish. As I use the faith that I've got, as I take that little step, that little baby step, you know, we were all born with that measure of faith, and that's how little Silas was able to get up and walk to run, and then run from, he's everywhere fast. But it all started with that first step, that measure of faith. He uses that. And so we as adults, we get scared because what if I fail? What if I stumble? What if I can't do it right? What if people talk about me? So our faith then turns into fear, doubt, and we go down that road. Well, we lose what faith we've got. That doesn't mean we can't get the faith back. We get the faith back by this, by the word. We get the faith, whether we're starting from scratch, whether we're building the faith that we've got, we do it by the word. We want to grow more, so we desire faith. We've got to get faith by desiring faith. We say, God, I want my faith to grow. I want my relationship in you to grow. And so God doesn't turn us down. He doesn't say, okay, take this three-question guess. Did you ever live on one of these streets? Were you ever akin to one of these? He doesn't do all that stuff. You ever had to go through that mess? You take these three questions and then you qualify whether you can get in or not. If we desire faith, God's going to give us faith. Whatever you desire, the Bible says, God will fulfill the desires of your heart. It's when our desires are in connection with him and involve him, God blesses it in abundance. So we first desire faith, and we secondly respond to God. How do we respond to God? We stay in communication with him. We get our faith built by staying in communication with him in prayer, by reading the Bible, by being available. We don't get consumed by the things and the cares of this world. Yeah, there are cares that we need to take care of. There are responsibilities that we all have, but we don't let them consume us. We get consumed in following Christ and let God take care of all the rest of it. Our response to God is critical to our faith. Because where does our faith come from? It comes from God. It comes from God. James 2:17 says, faith by itself is dead. Faith by itself and does not have works is dead. So our works is our doing to allow God to increase our faith. Faith by itself, if does not have works, is dead. So our response to God, Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's my connection with God. Faith is shown in my heart by my response to God. Faith is shown in my heart by my response to God. Am I going to respond to God? Well, I believe in God. We can say we believe in God, but we don't have a response to God. We don't follow God. Well, I just can't live that way. I can't do this. I can't. Have you ever heard anybody say that? I just can't. I'm not a good enough person to do that. Listen, you are just the person God wants on his team. He loves having rotten, bullheaded knuckleheads. He loves it. There's some of us here today. Talk to you personally. Our response to God. He knows us. He knows us. He really does. He knows me better than I know myself. Now, if I were to tell you that your source of faith relied on man, then my message would be a little different today. If I were to say, okay, your faith is going to be at the discretion of man, so we'd have a little reason to doubt. We'd say, well, it depends on if you're on their good side today or their bad side today. If it depends on man, then you're going to have to do some works. You're going to have to maybe get them a gift certificate to Mullet Bay, or you're going to need to do some things in order to get on their good side. Then maybe they'll give you some more faith. But that's not what I'm telling you today. Our source is not based on man. Our source of faith is based on God. Has he ever failed you? Has he ever failed me? Has he ever gone back on a promise? Has he ever done something against what he said he would do? Has he ever taken his word back? No to all those things. God is faithful. And so our source for faith comes from God. Our answered prayers come from God as we have faith in him to do everything. And so today, watch and see your response to God. Is your response to God in faith, saying that God, you can do anything? Or is your response to God in saying, well, God, I hope you can do everything. I'm hoping this will work out. I don't know, God, if you answer my prayers or not like you do hers, but I pray that you will. So sometimes our action to our prayer is doubting and not faith. And so my response to that, is it like Abraham and Sarah? God, you promised it, and I know it's going to come to pass. Or is it, God, you promised it, but you've probably done something else with your promise. You've given it to somebody else. So our response to God is important on receiving God's best, his blessing. And so for this year, for this 2022, I want us to take off the limits. Take off the limits to let's see what God will do in our lives. What does God want to do in your families? The things that you've been praying for. Our response to God is key to what we're going to receive from God. Start speaking those things as though they were. You can't go against the principles of God's word, but those things that you know you want to see that would bring glory and blessing to God and to God's kingdom, those things speak it as though they were, without doubting. And we're going to see some things happen this year. God is doing some moving. 2021 was a great year. God, like Elder Roth said a while ago, God did some great things through 2021. But we're not there anymore. Let's not look back. Let's look to what God's about to do. We can learn from those things, and I say that we do that. Let's learn from them. Let's thank God for them. Let's thank God that we're here today, 2 days into the new year. As we go on, we're going to see that God will do greater things as we release our faith to believe God for anything. Are you ready to do that? Are you ready to say, God, I'm ready for you to do everything you want to do? I'm going to take off my opinion. I'm going to take off my insecurity. I'm going to take off my doubt. And I'm going to say, God, there's no cap, there's no lid on what God can do this year. Are you with me? Let's stand together. Amen. Come on. Thank you, Lord.